Varicose and spider veins. Wow, what a gift from my mom. She had them, I got them, and not only are they uncomfortable and sometimes painful, but I stopped wearing skirts and shorts because I was embarrassed and I really hated the way my legs looked. When my kids asked me, "What are those things on your legs?" I was done. I finally went to Vein Clinics of America. The procedure took about an hour and I was right back to work. What they're doing with lasers these days is unbelievable. The staff made me feel so comfortable and the results, well, even my husband has noticed. Vein Clinics of America has been treating vein disease for over 35 years. They're the largest and most experienced in the U.S. Look, I've been doing the commercials for Vein Clinics for years because I really believe in them, and you can trust them too. The best part, my insurance covered the procedure, so stop hiding your legs. Call Vein Clinics right now to see if you qualify for a free consultation. Call 800-885-9090. 800-885-9090. That's 800-885-9090. Come on, let's work. Let's work. Come on, let's work.
Let's work. Come on, let's work. Let's work. Come on. You can wish for it or you can work for it.
You gotta work for greatness.
If you ain't working, you should be working. Come on, let's work.
Welcome to Confessions of a Workaholic, where we share the untold success secrets of fearless female entrepreneurs who are obsessed with success. This is your girl, Coryell, joined in the building with the Maddie James, and we are so excited to be back for another In Studio with Co. So before we get into our special guest and our special interview, I have to remind y'all that it is absolutely going down October 31st through November 3rd, right here in ATL at Work, Pray, Slay Weekend, a four-day, fun-filled weekend for women who are ready to win. And I promise you, it's going to get your entire life together. Tonight, I get to introduce you. Well, it's not an introduction because I know y'all know my girl. but tonight, I get to present to you one of our 2018 Work, Pray, Slay Workaholic honoree, Mrs. Maddie James.
Hi.
Maddie, are you ready to confess?
I am.
Okay, so Maddie, we all know you as the, I don't even want to say blogger, because that's like disrespectful to what you have evolved into, the influencer extraordinaire. But talk a little bit about your beginnings in blogging, because you were blogging before blogging was blogging.
Yeah, I've been blogging for a while. Like, I was blogging when it wasn't cool, you know, and definitely when it wasn't cool for girls who looked like me, especially. Mm-hmm. And I started blogging as a hobby in 2008. And in 2009, I kind of had like this really great year. I got married. I won Miss Liberia USA. So I had a little bit more eyes on me. So then instead of, I don't know if you guys remember Blogger, which is owned by Google, but that's where Mattyology, my old blog, was hosted on. So it was mattyology.blogspot.com. It's still up if you want to go up and see how trash it was.
The humble beginnings.
Because we all start at square one. Mm-hmm. And I think some of us think that people, I think a lot of people like might just like find you today on Instagram and think you started today.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were like, you know what, let me go to the studio.
We're going to do this thing.
Know, and just do it, you know. Not the case at all. I had no idea what I was doing. And just really took it one step at a time. I sowed that seed. I watered it repeatedly. And in 2010, I finally took the jump and bought my own domain. Mm-hmm. So I did not have the blog spot in my URL anymore. And was really just talking about, you know what? In the beginning, I was talking about celebrities. And that one, because like celebrity news and getting PR and all of that, you got to be up like 5-6 in the morning really giving it to the girls. And that really wasn't my ministry.
Right.
I was like, I like celebrities. I don't like them this much, though. So I'm going to talk about myself. And I was just talking about my really, really average and mediocre outfits. And it was real regular in 2010. But I just didn't give up. I didn't know what it was going to become, but I was really excited about what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked that naive version of myself. I was just excited to be able to do something new that I believed in and didn't really need validation from outside people.
I love it. So I know you said you weren't really into the celebrity mess, but around here at Confessions of a Workaholic, we like a little mess with a message, right?
Right,
so this
right.
is our little conscious conversation, because I feel like we're all talking about these things.
Oh, we're absolutely
anyway,
all
so we
them.
Might as well talk about them in a positive maybe way. So I got three topics, and I want to know your honest opinion on what in the world is going on. So the first one is Lil Nas X. You know who this is?
I do.
All right, he's riding down an old country road, right? In 2019, why are white people still trying to keep us out? And why are we still trying to get in so hard?
I think that, you know, and I want to say this is a Beyonce quote, and I think she said it when she gave Kaepernick that award. But, you know, racism is so American that people don't even realize they're racist. It's just like the default, unfortunately. And so, yeah, I don't really understand why this was such a big issue. You know what I mean? Because it was even an issue when Beyonce did.
Beyonce is Beyonce.
You know what I mean? And so it was interesting to me that it was just huge reaction. And Billy Ray Cyrus had to not only jump on the song, but then actually then like
overly validated
too, you know what I mean? Like him even jumping on the song should have been the validation, right? But he had it, and you know, really cool that he even took the time out to do that, you know what I mean?
But that is what I feel like they have to do, is you have to use your privilege in a way that can benefit the less privileged.
And obviously, I'll be honest, for me, I don't know very much about Lil Nas X, but I don't really feel like it was him necessarily trying to get in. I just think like this was his song, you know what I mean? And it's like, for me, the question should always be, why was there so much pushback if this was a song in the genre? You know what I mean? It met the criteria. It has the sound. It has the look. You know what I mean? Like,
how can they defend that is what I don't understand. So even when he made, I don't know if he was number one, number three, whatever, topping the Billboard charts, they even still tried to credit Billy Ray like it was his song.
Right.
I'm offended, y'all. I didn't know nothing about the song. I wasn't feeling it at first, and then I heard the backstory.
For sure. Like, I think we were all they were blasting it at my kid's school yesterday, you know, and I'm like, yes, have at it. You know what I mean? But yeah, I don't get why it was. I mean, I get why, but I'm like, in post-racial America, which is not really the case at all. That, of course, that's why. It's like he's already black, right? And then he's young. So it's like he had the double whammy. You know what I mean? Like if he would have been a woman, you know,
is just once again proof that we can do any and everything. Oh, and we are the originators behind all of this. Like,
well,
all
it still
of
didn't
this.
Hold him back. Like, you know, I'm like, he'd been number one on the Billboard 100 for how long?
What did y'all do?
Like,
other than get mad.
You kept me off the country charts, but meanwhile,
dominating
in the whole country.
So another topic. That's dominating. Aisha Curry. Why? So she went, for those of y'all who haven't seen or heard, she's on Jada interviewing Red Table Talk. And I guess the previous question to Aisha was about the groupies. Mm-hmm, how does she deal with Steph's groupies?
For sure.
And then her response was, you know, basically that she feels some type of way because she isn't getting that same attention or similar attention.
Right.
Why do you think this went viral? Because I didn't really feel like it was that big a deal. I feel like Aisha Curry, she can't say nothing. Poor girl cannot say anything without just getting destroyed.
Yeah.
But as a married woman, can you feel her on that? Do you understand what she was trying to say? Do you get it? And why are people mad?
I think people are mad when they feel like you're in this position that you should just be so grateful for, right?
I can't complain.
Like,
about anything.
You're married to Steph Curry, you know what I mean? You have this business, you have your babies. It's like, well, you should be grateful for everything that you have. And it's like, yeah, God forbid you're a human and you're vulnerable and you're having an honest conversation with your mother-in-law, Jada, you know, and your sisters-in-law there. I really don't think it's that big of a deal. I think people just need somebody to villainize because of their own insecurities and stuff like that. I'm not saying that I even agree with everything that Aisha Curry says, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I can disagree with somebody without like rooting for their demise. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, I'm not saying that she says everything perfect, but was her saying that she wished that she was, you know, looked at the same way like women look at stuff, like she wishes that people would look at her like, I don't really think it's that big of a deal.
And do you think, because the comments that I was reading, and I got to stay out the comments, they're hilarious.
Yeah,
I got to stay out these comments.
Yeah, my husband loves to read comments, and I definitely can't do it. I just have too much joy to be stripped away in those comments sections.
Well, okay, I don't read the bad ones. I read the funny ones.
You read
the funny ones.
But they be bad.
You're right. Okay. But what I saw in the comments, people were basically saying, like, I saw someone say, you know, so you want to wear all those out. You know, I thought you were purposely not dressing like a hoe. You know, making light of her image as a wholesome wife, which I don't think she was saying, I want men to be gawking at me when I walk down the street. I think that she just notices the attention that her husband gets.
Yeah.
She's had three babies back to back, which I'm sure does a lot. I don't know personally yet, but I'm sure that does something to your mojo.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so absolutely. I can see that she was just expressing insecurities and being human.
Yeah. I mean, I think all of us as people, but definitely all of us as women, like, you know, you get dressed, you know, you're feeling confident about yourself, or you're trying to build your confidence back up. And like, you go out, you know, maybe your friend gets attention or your sister or whoever, and you don't get that attention. I don't think it's wrong to kind of admit and be vulnerable. And I think that's the other thing that is problematic for me, that we have all these fake feminists around, but if it's a woman that you don't like or agree with, then all of a sudden you're okay with her demise. It's just not cool. And everybody, again, you know, behind a keyboard is a thug.
Listen, this is very true. Okay, speaking of thugs, your boy C Breezy, right? So Chris Brown,
we can already skip the question.
Listen,
we can already skip it.
Okay, so this is my Chris Brown question. Chris Brown recently, like, commented on some, again, I'm in the comments, commented on one of Rihanna's page, you know, pictures, called her queen, asked her, you know, when the new music was dropping, all of these things, right? And then I get to thinking about how Chris Brown and Rihanna got back together. They were secretly dating. Mm-hmm. Do you think we would judge them if they got back together? Would you judge Riri?
I can't say I would support that. I think that, I will say this. I think it would be different if Chris Brown was like this different person.
But you don't think he's changed, grown, evolved? Nah.
You know what I mean? And I just think that there's so many people watching both of them. I just don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's
so
a good
like
idea.
10-15 years, mature C Breezy. He don't get a chance, no?
He doesn't. I think it's done. I think really, like, Rihanna's going to either pop up with, like, a Russian billionaire or have his babies and keep it moving.
She's not going to backslide.
Not to be funny, but it's like he couldn't do enough to keep Karrueche. Like, you definitely not doing enough to keep Rihanna. Like, and not even to say that Rihanna is better than Karrueche, but it's like, it's higher profile. I'm just saying. So
that was nice.
I just don't think that, you know, I think he probably was in his feelings and, you know, probably not sober and probably all in her comments and stuff like that. I think it's
and
a
we
bad
know
idea.
How those exes are. So now that you say it like that, it's like it probably it's wasn't. It wasn't
Can
even
you imagine fun. Chris Brown as your ex?
No,
absolutely
actually,
not.
I've
dot
had
org.
Some bad exes. So I can actually imagine that.
Chris Breezy level ex. That's a level of ex where it's just like Chris Brown literally says what he wants.
That's true. Okay, that's
like,
true. And
like,
he has
publicly.
The status, the power, the money. I've never had an ex
It's
like
just
that.
Like, yeah. It's,
let me stop
That's
playing.
A lot.
Okay, that concludes our mess with the message. That was good. But let's get back into your career. So we talked about your blogging beginnings in 2008, back when, you know, black girls weren't blogging.
They were.
And I want to start there because are black girls blogging now? Yes, we are. But we're not being represented, I don't think, in the way that other people are. And when, you know, we were talking about who my guest was tonight, I'm like, yo, Maddie is killing it for the black girls in the blogger influencer space, especially in Atlanta, but beyond as well. Why do you think it is that we are not represented? Because we have just as much influence, just as much,
for
you know.
Sure.
So why do you think that is? And what do you think we can do about it, if anything?
You know, somebody asked me this. I was just on a brand trip a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, one of the other white influencers, she was, I was the only black influencer out of 8 influencers, which is typically the situation when I have a big project like that. And I know many of, like, my other black influencer sisters who are in that situation a lot of times. It's usually one of us, you know, for the diversity aspect. And I will say it's been interesting because I feel like a lot of white influencers that I've had conversations with have been very vocal. Like, why do you think that is? Like, why? Like, she was like, would you get an agent? And I said, I would. I just don't think I have an agent now because I don't think anybody knows what to do with me. So I don't think, like, most agents right now are white, Jewish, male for the most part too. You know what I mean? There's some women holding it down, but they're usually white. They're in New York. They're in LA. You don't know that you can pitch me to Johnson's and Essence. Mm-hmm, you just don't know how to navigate that space. You know what I mean? And then I think on the other side, I think at least my experience, I know I live in Atlanta. So I think being in New York and LA, you're a little bit closer to it. But I also think that your black agents or managers and stuff like that who do exist, I think they just are so close to it that it almost backfires because it's like you'll probably pitch me to like the same three companies repeatedly, which there's nothing wrong with because relationship building is awesome. But I don't think I have come across somebody yet who knows how to really handle the full scope of a black female influencer, honestly, because we're so cool. Like, we really create everything.
We don't fit in the box.
So you don't know what to do with that. Because, like, what would you do with Beyonce as a, you know what I mean? Or Oprah or, you know,
Right.
Like, it's really, really hard to even now, because you don't even know what to do with me. Like, you can hit me with Johnson's and Parents Magazine. You can hit me with Essence Fest. You can hit me with Black Enterprise. You can hit me with, you know, Mary Kay, with so many different things. And I don't even think I don't know if there's enough education even on it for you to really get it. I think the person who does it will be somebody who was an influencer.
Mm-hmm, and gets it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for those of you who thought Maddie was out here with an agent, she not. She doing it on her own, y'all. Yeah. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
So the agent thing, I think, is crucial. And then a publicist. I feel like people think that you can't do anything in life without having a publicist.
Yeah. And that's a lot.
Have you had a publicist in the past?
I have not had a publicist. I have a really great relationship.
You see my face,
it looks stressed, don't it? Now, here's what I will say. A publicist would definitely benefit me at this level in my career. So I definitely understand that. And I think, like, this year, but by the time 2019 ends, I probably will have some kind of PR representation. I just think that I've been really blessed because I've had really great relationships with PR professionals who kill it. So they've been like, hey, navigate like this. You know what I mean? I try my best to be really professional. So, like, you know, just me and my team, as far as like corresponding with brands and stuff like that, I think we do a pretty good job. But yeah, I think PR would definitely be that extra leg that we need, because I kind of feel like I'm in this season in my career where it's time to level up, you know? Like, I feel like, you know, we're in a really great place, I think, in the black female influencer space. I think, you know, girls are starting to get gigs. We're starting to work with, like, household name brands and stuff like that. And I really try my best to just kind of go to the next level. I always kind of want to be a step ahead. That's kind of always how I've looked at myself. So really kind of starting to focus on video and physical product, you know, and really just thinking about what's the next decade going to look like for my brand.
So for the people out there who might be getting their feet wet in blogging or influencing or anything entrepreneurial and don't know when that magic moment will be to walk away from their 9-to-5, how did you know it was time, and what were the circumstances around you going full-time with your blog?
Well, I knew it was time because I got fired. So
that's what time it is, okay?
So the Lord was like, it's time. And I really wanted to quit for so long because I'd just become a mother, and I was just like, you know, I was in this new season as a woman, and I was like, I just don't want to start this new season still working from somebody. I had now been blogging for about 4 years, a little over 4 years. I was like, okay. And I was getting consistent gigs, you know, definitely not at the level that I'm at now, but it was definitely equal to my annual income then. And so I was like, I kept on praying on it. I was like, okay, Lord, you know, just show me the sign, show me the sign, show me the sign. And I feel like he was like, I mean, don't know what other sign I can give you, but you fired. And, you know, when that happened, I kind of hit the ground running, because it wasn't just like about, you know, contributing to my household financially, but now we had a mouth to feed aside from our own. And that, to me, kind of lit a fire under me for sure.
Well, one thing that I love, Maddie, is that you have accumulated all of these experiences and this expertise over the years, and now you share it with people who are interested in blogging or interested in becoming an influencer but just have no clue where to start. And like we said, a lot of times the resources are coming from people who don't necessarily look like us. So then if they don't even have those experiences, how can they help us navigate them? So you have a class called Pitch Please. I think that is so cute. Tell us about it and who is it for?
So Pitch Please is a 5-module course where I teach you how to pitch brands successfully. So I had a pre-sale for it in March, and I am just really passionate about helping influencers, especially influencers that look like me, to successfully pitch brands, how to conduct themselves, not only professionally, but then also how to negotiate like your coins. You know, I think that's the season kind of like the industry is in as a whole, but especially girls that look like us. I think they're kind of like, oh my gosh, a brand wants to work with me. And it's like, okay, girl, but did you ask for your rate? You know, like that's cool that they want to work together. But what's next? You know, this is business, you know? So it really kind of walks you through how to prep and position yourself and why being consistent and why really getting good at content creation and knowing what your value is, right? And then next we talk about presentation, what should go in your press kit. Then we talk about pricing, because I think that's the scariest thing. And the truth is this, I'll give you a spoiler. There is no wrong or right pricing. It's just what you're willing to put, you know, out there and ask for. And then we talk about packaging, because I think that's also a thing. So instead of just saying, okay, this one Instagram package is going to be $1,000, can you package that up into an Instagram post with 5 Instagram stories and an Instagram live for $5,000 instead?
And then last
but not least, pitching, right? How do you negotiate? You know, pitching is really selling. You know, I think people think they pitch an idea, you present an idea, you package your rate, and you sell the pitch. You if you don't know how to sell,
this is not for you.
This is definitely not for you. You know, especially if you don't have no agent, definitely have to know how to sell.
Okay, so aside from an Instagram, because I know people just think if you have an Instagram, you can be an influencer.
Right?
Is that the case? Because it might be. I'm not sure. That's the first part of the question. Is having an Instagram enough? And the second half is a blog still necessary?
Okay, so this is a loaded question, but happy to break it down. So is Instagram enough? That's up to you, right? So it's like, what's your end goal? If your end goal is to make an extra $500 to $2,000 a month, absolutely. You know what I mean?
I don't like what's coming. Go ahead.
But if you want a coin that pays your mortgage and your, you know, and your car note and stuff like that, then Instagram is just not enough. I really always try my best to advise against just putting all your eggs in the Instagram basket just because you don't own it. Mm-hmm. They can snatch down your content at any time. We saw, and I've seen that with like really established brands with like
Got snatched last week.
Well, the Fashion Bomb Daily got snatched, and I was like, they had like 1.1 million. So I'm like, at any given time, if they feel like you're not making Instagram more valuable or you're violating anything, they can send. That's just a little bit too much. Scary. You know what I mean? So that's the big risk with all of your eggs in the Instagram basket. Do you need a blog? Again, what's your end goal? If you're trying to get into TV and you're trying to conquer video, no, you need YouTube. You know what I mean? You don't necessarily need a blog. But if you eventually you want to write a book, or if you're trying to have brand campaigns, if you're trying to work with brands, yeah, I think you do. I'll say this twofold. I think if you don't have a YouTube, you need a blog. If you don't have a blog, then you need to have a YouTube, and you definitely need to have an Instagram. Instagram's important. It's just not everything.
So I didn't even realize how, you know, they have like Instagram algorithms. These brands have algorithms and formulas for like how much we are worth, how much our audience is worth.
Right.
And I literally sat down with someone and he pulled up this formula and he put in my name and he said, this is how much a brand would be willing to pay you. And I didn't even know that brands had access to these types of tools. So from your experience working with, because you've worked with major, major brands on national, I don't know, maybe even international campaigns, what are some of the things you feel like they're looking for? Aside from obviously the numbers, the engagement, what are some things that maybe we just wouldn't know until we got in that position? But, you know, you could tell us a couple of secrets and we could get in position. So what are some things you think are important?
I will say this. I say no to a lot of brands who say like, oh, well, we with your following, we've determined like this is your worth. Like nobody can tell me my worth except for me. So at the end of the day, sure, your little algorithm software told you this. This is my rate, though. So that's how that goes, you know. So I would advise, like, I get it. Like, I think, you know, it's easy to be like, okay, well, they said that I'm only worth that, so I should say yes to that. At the end of the day, if you want $2,000 for your Instagram post, then you go ahead and ask for that. You know what I mean? I think it's more so, I think it's about the selling more than the algorithm. But, you know, we can dive deeper if we need to on that. I think with brands, I think brands want to know that you're aware of your value. I think they want to understand that, you know, you're a brand, that you conduct yourself as the business that you are, that you understand your audience, you understand what your audience wants. I think that I've been really fortunate because I'm really, really clear on the value I provide, not only to a brand, but to my audience, and I know how to speak to my audience. A lot of brands do not know how to speak to the audience that look like me.
Right.
They just don't. You know, so that's why I can ask for the same rate that my white counterpart who has five times my following has, because
they don't have, they can't get in front of your people.
So it's like, you don't know how to talk to them. And there's just, most people aren't as consistent as me. So it's like by default, like right there, it's like, I've got the credibility, I've got the consistency. So they're looking for the consistency. They're looking for the presentation. They're looking for, I've realized, and this has been hilarious, but I feel like when I've asked for more, I feel like I tend to get it more than when I'm like, oh, okay, you know, like when I play scared, it always backfires on me. So I always ask for the outrageous number. If you're asking for a number that doesn't scare you, quite honestly, it's not high enough.
When did you get to the point where you started feeling yourself like, yo, I'm just about to, like you got comfortable with turning stuff down? Because you know, when you're first getting started, you will willingly take those little free products.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Like
all day.
I mean, I took $500, you know, Instagram and sponsored blog posts for, you know, for years, you know what I mean? For a minute, where it's like, you know, you have to start really, you got to be real nerdy about it. How much does it actually cost you to create a blog post, right? If it's costing you $475, that $500 is just not going to cut it, right? Between wardrobe, between hiring a photographer, between your you know, paying for Adobe Creative, all of that, if that's how much it's, you know, so you got to start getting real nerdy. What's the actual overhead? Like, let's really break it down. Understand your internal data, not just the algorithm of a social media campaign. And I think that when you start to understand that, I think then it's easier to kind of be like, okay, this doesn't seem like, one, it doesn't seem like a fit, not only money-wise, but value-wise. You know what I mean? I just turned down like a liquor company just because I don't really drink liquor like that. A wine company is sending me like a case of wine. I like wine, you know? So I think it's also being really clear on what not only your personal values are, but what are your professional values? You know what I mean? What do I want to be in alignment with, you know, especially in front of my audience who I do not take their trust for granted. And so I want to make sure that I'm operating in truth and authenticity at all times and be in alignment with my values at all times.
I love it. So in alignment with these values and in truth and honesty, what is, and not dollar amount, but you could share that too if you so please, what is the biggest job that you've gotten that you felt like, mama, we made it? What was that project?
Last year I had, I think I had 4 or 5 figure brand campaigns. So it was just like, oh, okay. And 1 month I made, and I've shared this before, you know, like 1 month I made my, a little bit over my annual income. So, you know, like I made $49,000 a year when I was at my 9 to 5, and I made $53,500 last August. And so it was like, oh, okay.
Okay,
cool. Okay, so we're here. So I think it's just like, really kind of stepping back and realizing like, okay, people have budgets, you know what I mean? Really do the work and really understand your value. Because I think also this, brands have the coin, and they're also, they're open to you justifying your ask, right? So the ask isn't the crazy thing. It's the justification of the ask. So if you don't know how to break down why you're asking somebody for $5,000, you're gonna, it's gonna be less likely. You know, if you can justify the ask and you can get on the phone with somebody and justify the ask, I think that's a big thing too, you know?
So the Maddie, you're not Maddieology anymore. You are the Maddie James. The Maddie James team. What does it take to pull off these posts? Because people will look at your blog or your Instagram and be like, oh, I could just take pictures and get paid.
Yeah.
But it's a real production. So
a real
who
production.
Is on this team, and what does it take to actually pull off so these really five blessed. Figure partnerships.
So it's a lot. So I have a photographer and creative director, and she kind of like handles anything that's creative. If I'm like, okay, I want it to look like this, she'll go like reference things. She'll go like research at Target, like how much it is, or is it on Amazon? Is it within the budget I said it should be in and stuff like that. So she tackles that. Then we have my video editor and producer. So when it comes to video, she films, she'll storyboard everything. We'll write the treatment out together and just discuss like what it is we're trying to accomplish, you know? Then we have my business assistant who literally, like, that's how these deals be going down, right? Where I'm like, you know, she'll be like, okay, they said this is the rate. What do you want to tell them? And I'll tell her, and she'll, you know, she'll concoct it in a professional way. And I'll be like, absolutely not. I'm not doing this lower for this amount, you know? And she'll navigate that for me. So I think that's really cool. Then I have my lawyer. So that's always great to have, just to make sure you don't get sued, you know, everything you're talking about, you know, my graphic artist. So if I do need to make graphics, then that's more so on like the pitch please and core side. And then there's one more person, who am I forgetting? Oh, my money manager, who makes sure that.
Can't forget that one.
Yeah, cannot forget my money manager, who makes sure, like, I'm actually bringing in money, I'm staying in the black, how much did I pay myself, how much did I pay my team, how much did I reinvest in, like, the education of myself, going to conferences and all of that. So it's about those six ladies, all black women.
Hello.
Everybody, with the exception of my video producer, is a mom and a wife. And so I think that, well, as a mom, not everybody's a wife, but is a mom. And so I think that's pretty cool.
So you mentioned that a lot of your career, the beginnings of your career, was relationship building. And we always talk about on the podcast just that the power is really in your people.
Absolutely.
Especially in this industry. Because
you have an amazing team. Your team is amazing.
Thank you. But I think within the influencer industry, once you have a connection, you know, that can take you very far.
For
that
sure.
can open up plenty of doors and lots of opportunities. For those who might just be getting started, who don't have those relationships, what's your best advice to starting those relationships and nurturing them? Because my problem has been, I hate when people get on my nerves. So in turn, I don't ever want to get on anybody's nerves.
For sure.
So that a lot of times has led me to not following up,
for sure.
not being persistent.
Right, I know that has...
You know,
right. Yeah. It can sometimes like hinder you, right? Because that's me sometimes as well. So I think it's really just getting yourself in these rooms, right? Because I think, like, yeah, if you kind of like jump in somebody's inbox or you call them, you're kind of like, ah, is this a good time? It gets nerve wracking. But if you're in a conference room, if you're at a retreat, if you're somewhere where it's relevant, the conversation and interaction is relevant, that's really, really huge. And I think also just reaching out to people when you don't need them and, you know, maybe something big happened or maybe they haven't been on Instagram as much, like, hey man, notice you haven't been on in a couple weeks, just wanted to check on you, you know, just want to see if everything's good, would love to grab lunch or coffee. So I think actually being supportive, and I think the issue that we have now is that we are making engagement and support synonymous, and they're very different things,
right. Not the same,
you know. So I think if it's coming from a genuine place, I think if it's within context, you know, and I think being persistent means maybe trying, like, you know, like one or two times, and then if you don't get anything back, then kind of like chill and maybe kind of let some time pass, or catch them at the next event and kind of say, hey, you know, because sometimes people are busy, you know what I mean? Maybe they had a death in the family. Maybe they had something going on with their job. You know, maybe they were really busy with the launch. So I think sometimes we can internalize it and take it personally. And it really
let your pride get in the way.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so aside from you being a boss and a happy wife, you are a mom.
Yes.
And I think moms are superheroes. Like, I feel like I don't have enough time in the day, and I still, in all honesty, don't even understand how you run an errand with kids. Like, how you stop for gas and run into the gas station.
Well,
I don't get it.
That's
not a real question,
is,
but go ahead.
Yeah, the spoiler is no one knows how you do that. Oh,
okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Okay.
No, you don't find out. You just have the kids and you just, like, figure it out as you go along. Yeah, there's no, like,
I'm not going to just get a...
No, I don't know. I would be a trillionaire if I knew.
Okay, so that's that. But how do you manage it all? Like, how do you... And there might not even be, like, one answer, but I need an answer, because I cannot imagine like having a husband and kids depending on me and doing the things that I do now. I just can't imagine it.
Yeah.
So tell me something, girl, like one thing, just one thing that helps you get through the day. Well, and don't say you wake up early, please.
Well, I don't think you want me to answer. I think one, I have to be very transparent because I know everybody wants the Instagram answer. It is way harder than you think it is. So whatever you think it is, it's probably about 25 times that. So that's that. I think for me, I've gotten really good at asking for help because I think that there's just no way, you know, I think for me, my West African background, I'm kind of just like, we have a tribe and I lean on my tribe. Hey, mom, you know, Mama James, hey, I'm going to bring the kids over. I just need them to stay over for a couple hours. Are you guys available? You know, I think when you're able to ask for help and you put yourself in a position where you can be vulnerable, mm-hmm. you can be transparent, you get the help more than you even need it sometimes, right? Because people are like, oh, you know, are you good? Everything's mm-hmm. all right. I think there's this kind of like self-imposed, you know, superhero syndrome that moms sometimes have, that we have to do it all. You know, I have to be snatched. I've got to be beat. I got to make sure my man good. I got to make sure it's like, for what? Like, you know, and balance looks different every day. Sometimes mm-hmm. I'm an amazing mom. I kill it at, you know, this whole MaddieJames.com thing. And I was a trash wife, you know, because I talked to my husband for 5 minutes because so much was going on. Some days I kill it at being a wife. I'm an amazing mother. And I just drop the ball at the business thing. And my goal is just not, I'm not really looking to be perfect. You know what I mean? Like, the goal is excellence and showing up every day and really doing the best I can. You know, you'll drop the ball, but the next day it's just going to be like, just try to do better. Yeah. Just so you know. So yeah. And I think if parenting taught me anything, if motherhood has taught me anything, is humility. You know what I mean? You don't have it all together, but I don't think what makes children happy is perfect parents. I think what makes children whole and complete is parents who are imperfect and vulnerable enough, even with their children, to like say, you know what, that wasn't the right call. You know, this is how I fix it. I think that's so much healthier, especially for my girls. I'm like, that's so much healthier when I'm like, ah, that wasn't a good idea. Okay, let's clean it up or let's pick up the pieces. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a way better lesson than being like, dinner's ready and everything's clean right. and the laundry's up.
And then they have to live up to that perfect
patty. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, it's not really, one, it's not realistic. And then two, for me, I'm not trying to raise perfect children. I'm trying to raise complete children.
I love it. So how important has having a supportive spouse been to your career?
It's everything.
I don't see how it would even be everything. Possible.
Yeah, I don't even have to let you finish the question. It's everything. There's no way I would be, it like makes me emotional. It's just everything. When you decide to share your life with someone and they are so open and so supportive to you going after everything you wanted and making sacrifices and it being inconvenient sometimes and still rooting you on, that is, it's really unmatched. It's just everything. I like stand for my husband. The only Chris I acknowledge is James. Like, that's my homie. Like, he makes me believe in myself. He reminds me that I'm complete, right? Like, because I think the one thing we always talk about is like, we could absolutely do this without each other, but his support and his love and just who he is reminds me every day that I don't want to do it without him.
I love it. Good answer. And I always, listen, from the beginnings when I had the Single Wives Club, I always said, like, I want some honey to go with my money.
Yeah.
I'm not about this life by myself.
It's
I'm not.
So much more fun.
I'm about to say, it's so, it's listen, so ladies, it's hard out here. This single life, well, I'm not single no more, but that single life was stressful, okay? And now having help.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like life, I don't feel like life is meant to be
No,
spent
it's not.
Alone
it's just not designed like
it's
that.
Not.
It's just not. Like, no matter what you believe in, it's literally not designed like that. Look at your car. Look at your taxes. And it is really, really hard work. Like, marriage is extremely hard work, especially if you want a happy one. Mm-hmm. And like I said, motherhood kicks my butt every single day. But gosh, it is so much more. I'm so much more full. And I learn about the capacity of like my character and my mindset every single day, just because I'm like, okay, I'm going to show up for these three amazing people in my life every single day. It hurts. It's excruciating sometimes. I'm super tired sometimes. You do have to wake up early, you know. Not maybe not all the time. I think I'm in this season. I have two kids under the age of five. I'm just in a season where it's like I'm stretched. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got to wake up early. Like if I'm trying to knock out stuff between 8 and 4, because I don't really, I very seldom do work things after 4 p.m. You know what I mean? Like, I would say that's like, good. Yeah, if it's not paid or if it's not something where it's like relationship based or anything like that, I just really say no at this point, just because my kids are never going to be 4 and 1 again.
Right.
I have to say no to a lot of things, and it's not always comfortable, but that's absolutely a sacrifice I'm willing to make. And that's just part of the deal. That's
and
just
it's
part
possible.
Of the gig.
You are proof that it is possible. If you're willing to work for it, you can have it.
I just added it to my Instagram bio, hashtag do the work, because
you have to. There's no, listen, and you said something, I think, when I was interviewing you for Work Price Lay last year, like there's no elevator to success.
There's no
it's
elevator.
Not happening. You got to sweat on them stairs.
I haven't met anybody. Like, I'm thinking about like my married friends, my entrepreneurial friends, friends who are both, you know what I mean? Where everybody's like, yeah, this is hard as hell. Mm-hmm. Like, it's super, super tough. It's amazing. Like, there's so many different sides, but there's a lot that you guys don't see that is like, you know, it's just like when you sow a seed, right? Most of that work is underground. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you plant it, when it establishes roots, when it starts to sprout up, you can't really see all that stuff. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of hard work. But if that's what you want, just know that there's an amount of work for it to be successful that comes with it.
So speaking of success in all of your pivots, your different experiences, if you could write a recipe for success, your own mm-hmm. Maddie James recipe with three ingredients, what would they be?
I think God first, family second, and myself always. Mm. Right?
I like that.
Because I think they're, and I think family meaning, like for me, family is not only Chris, Maisa, and Kaliana. It's also my team. You know, it's also my tribe of girlfriends. That's what I mean. You know what I mean? But yeah, God first, family second, and myself always. So anytime I have not been myself, it has always kicked me right in the face. Not even in my butt. It's kicked me in my face, right in my teeth. You know what I mean?
This is true.
And so, and you know, if I'm being frank, God didn't make any mistakes. So like, if he wanted me to be a different way, he would have made me a different way. So being myself always is something that I have to be true to, you know what I mean? So yeah, I think that's the recipe, because it doesn't matter. Because, and I said this in the IG live once, it was like, I would kill it if I was working at Target. So I think so many times we attach our worth to our work, right? But your worth is really in your life. How do you conduct yourself? What's your character and your integrity talking about? You know what I mean? Because you can put me in any situation, I'm going to win. You know what I mean? But that's not because of my title. That's because of my mindset. Character.
Right. Okay, so our last little segment here, I call it top five. I have five either ors. I'm going to name them. You just pick one.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Lauryn Hill or Erykah Badu?
Ooh, Erykah Badu.
The people gonna get you. prayer or meditation?
Prayer.
Fresh Prince or Martin?
I'm laughing because this is me and my husband. I'm gonna say for me, Fresh Prince.
Me too, girl.
Listen, I'm just like, agrees. I know. I'm gonna say Fresh Prince for me.
But Black America is gonna say
Black
Martin.
America says Martin. You know what I mean? But oh, you know, y'all can have it.
Right.
That's
y'all
fine.
Can have it.
Yeah, that's fine. You know.
Give me my little throwback episodes. Okay, TLC or Destiny's Child?
Destiny's Child.
You didn't even like, you're like.
Beyonce, no guys. Beyonce.
All right. Cat Williams or Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can agree to disagree. Maddie, I appreciate you. Look, it's after 4, y'all. And Maddie James is here in the building.
I was excited to be here, man. Thanks so much for having me.
It's about time. I definitely should have had you on long ago, but I'm so excited that you joined us. Please let our listeners, our viewers, our audience know where they can find you, follow you, and support you.
You can follow me everywhere at The Maddie James, everywhere on social. So Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all of that. You can check out my podcast, The Maddie James Show, on iTunes or SoundCloud. And of course, you can check out my site at maddiejames.com.
Make sure you join us October 31st through November 3rd right here in ATL for Work, Pray, Slay weekend. It's going down. Passes are on sale now. Yay. And make sure you grab your spring issue, Work Mag. Yes.
Come on,
let's work. Let's work. Come on, let's work.
Varicose and spider veins. Wow, what a gift from my mom. She had them, I got them, and not only are they uncomfortable and sometimes painful, but I stopped wearing skirts and shorts because I was embarrassed and I really hated the way my legs looked. When my kids asked me, "What are those things on your legs?" I was done. I finally went to Vein Clinics of America. The procedure took about an hour and I was right back to work. What they're doing with lasers these days is unbelievable. The staff made me feel so comfortable and the results, well, even my husband has noticed. Vein Clinics of America has been treating vein disease for over 35 years. They're the largest and most experienced in the U.S. Look, I've been doing the commercials for Vein Clinics for years because I really believe in them, and you can trust them too. The best part, my insurance covered the procedure, so stop hiding your legs. Call Vein Clinics right now to see if you qualify for a free consultation. Call 800-885-9090. 800-885-9090. That's 800-885-9090. Varicose and spider veins. Wow, what a gift from my mom. She had them, I got them, and not only are they uncomfortable and sometimes painful, but I stopped wearing skirts and shorts because I was embarrassed and I really hated the way my legs looked. When my kids asked me, "What are those things on your legs?" I was done. I finally went to Vein Clinics of America. The procedure took about an hour and I was right back to work. What they're doing with lasers these days is unbelievable. The staff made me feel so comfortable and the results, well, even my husband has noticed. Vein Clinics of America has been treating vein disease for over 35 years. They're the largest and most experienced in the U.S. Look, I've been doing the commercials for Vein Clinics for years because I really believe in them, and you can trust them too. The best part, my insurance covered the procedure, so stop hiding your legs. Call Vein Clinics right now to see if you qualify for a free consultation. Call 800-885-9090. 800-885-9090. That's 800-885-9090.